Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Real talk. Sometimes life throws decisions our way that feel impossible to navigate. That's where a little guidance can make all the difference. At Psychic Source, our trusted psychics go beyond basic predictions. They provide real insight, helping you understand your situation, see your options clearly, and take confident next steps. Your reading is always private and judgment-free, so whether you're facing a crossroads in love, career, or life's bigger questions, you'll get honest, compassionate advice in a safe space. And the best part? Our psychics are available 24/7 by phone, chat, or video, whenever you need them. Plus, we stand by our readings. If you're not satisfied, it's free. Because when you have greater wisdom, you can create a better outcome. Ready to take control of your future? Get a reading for just 83 cents per minute, plus 3 minutes free. Visit PsychicSource.com and use promo code HELLO to get started. Psychic Source. Insight when you need it most.
Tucker, I've been feeling full of energy lately. I've been feeling
I'm sure you have.
I have. I've been working hard. I got two videos out, you know, and I'm...
What is that?
And guess what,
baby?
I'm drinking the finest finest spring water in all the land.
You rich L.A. celebrities with your glamorous water. Get out of here. What is that?
My Saratoga water, dude. It's clearly my Saratoga water.
I remember when you were drinking Crystal Geyser with me in the back of the Tacoma as we journeyed across America like blue-collar young men.
We were blue-collar young men, but I mean...
I remember those days. Now you're a Saratoga exquisiato.
Listen, man. Can I give you an explanation?
Give me the explanation.
I was perusing the internet.
Perusing. You're using words like perusing now.
I ran into this beautiful man named Ashton Hall, and he is just, he's got it all figured out, it seems like. He's grinding every morning.
Ashton Hall. Who's Ashton Hall?
Ashton Hall is, you know, he might be the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he drinks only these. He smashes them on the ground, and he drinks them all the time.
You want to be like Ashton, you better be smashing.
Whoa.
I really put you on the spot, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Can I commit to that right now? I mean, let's see. I'll give it a try.
Oh, man, we're doing this. This is exciting, guys. I didn't think he's going to go for it, and he's chugging it.
I mean, if I really am going to be in the Church of Ashton.
Welcome to Take It Easy. Minutes later of cleaning up glass, and we are back in it.
I don't know what came over me.
Really enjoying this experience. Another? Okay, pound it, shatter it.
No, I can't. I can't. That's not Tucker. That's not like me. I don't usually do stuff like that.
I don't usually
treat my beautiful Saratoga like that. But I mean, I just felt like I was overcome with emotion.
Who's this little boy that you're cosplaying as this week?
Ashton Hall. He's the best man
Ashton
around.
Hall,
you don't know who he is. Look him
around.
Up. We've got a podcast to do, though, man. We got a podcast to grind.
We do.
Welcome, everybody, to Take It Easy, number one podcast for your number one friend. Your friends are listening to this podcast, and I guess at this point you are, but if you weren't before, know that your friends are listening to this all the time, so you need to up your listening time. Otherwise, God, I mean, you know... You'll be so embarrassed at school. Everybody's talking about it at school.
Dude, I saw some kids getting roughed up in the hallways the other day because they got caught listening to something that wasn't Taking It Easy.
That's what I've heard too. This is spreading all across the country. So if you don't want to get bullied, make sure to like, subscribe, and comment. Retweet. And tell us what you want to tell us what your favorite, I don't know, snack is. Welcome
to
Take It
Easy. What's your favorite snack right now? That's a great thing to comment.
I'm embarrassed to say this. No, okay. I'm not. No, I should be full of joy for this.
Okay.
I don't know. Spit it out.
Ted.
I have conflicting emotions clearly about this topic.
You
Tucker.
Do.
I have conflicting emotions.
It's tearing your soul in half.
I think partly because I know that, you know, I'm a little bit scared of you. I'm a little bit scared of not being accepted by you. And I think that might be some trauma I need to unpack.
You're so afraid of me. I'm afraid. Just spit it out.
Tucker walks in the room. I start shivering like a small dog in a crowded room. Anyways,
I'm such an easy
or getting out of a pool.
So what's the snack? This is all about a snack.
The Ritz. I'm trying to say it. The Ritz cheesy crackers sandwiches. Ritz cheese cracker sandwiches. I'm really into them. I always have been.
Oh, that's fine, man. That's a good snack.
Okay. I think that what I've realized
ashamed of the Ritz.
I was deeply ashamed. Yeah. Well, because
that's such an average snack.
Oh, not back in the day.
I thought you were gonna say like barbecued slathered Sour Patch Kids or something horrible.
Well, now that's interesting. Tell me what? That. What was that again? What was that again?
Barbecue
describe that one in detail.
Slathered Sour Patch Kids. Please okay, well, tell me you're not eating.
What type of barbecue sauce are we talking here?
Sweet Baby Ray's. It's got to be Sweet Baby Ray's.
Oh, okay. So we're doing okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I would have said yes 100% to that, and I'm damn close. Don't get me wrong, but I'm thinking that maybe it needs to be like a honey mesquite barbecue or something like that. Then I'm like interested.
Maybe I'm really interested. Maybe we try that this weekend and we put it on the Patreon.
Ted and Tucker try honey mesquite barbecue slathered Sour Patch Kids.
Just a little quick little thing.
Take it easy. Bonus special. Yeah, no, we will. I actually already have Sour Patch Kids at home. All I need to do is just get the barbecue sauce. Easy.
Write that down. Easy. Write it down.
No, but you know, you're saying it's the most normal snack to have the Ritz cracker sandwiches, but you know, if kids are getting bullied for not listening to Take It Easy right now, I was getting bullied for eating those things. People will catch me in the hallways and be like, "Hey," because back then I was like 4'10".
You've never been
back 4'10". Back in high school, I was 4'10".
You've never been 4'10". Yeah, you came out of the womb at least 5 foot plus. You were born 5 foot plus.
Oh, my poor mother! Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Just like doctor's like, "We got a big one," and she's like, "How big?" And like, it's like. Records, yeah, pulling me out like a baby cow,
like when
a magician pulls all the fucking string out of his hat. I'm just coming
it's just
out.
Like, there's no way that fit inside you, ma'am.
Yeah, like it was, and I'm imagining it's just like long torso baby. Like it's a baby, and the proportions are a baby.
Oh
but
yeah,
just
it's just
long
really
torso.
Long
torso. I just grew into this incredibly long torso baby. Yeah, that's terrible. I was basically like a centipede moving around. I slathered around the house. Yeah, I mean, what else? You know, it was hard for my parents had a hard time upbringing me. But yeah, so my 4'10 self in high school at 17 years old was getting beat up, and then I went through a
nobody ever beat that up
15-inch growth spurt over the next year.
Okay, so you're into Ritz crackers as a snack. But do you remember when we took a road trip, do you remember our cooler of snacks in the back?
Yeah, I do.
I remember it being gross, especially in the latter half of the trip.
We sort of created, like, that was our first dive into creating environments. Like, we had created a wetland.
We created an environment. Yeah,
we did.
Our
we had created an ecosystem within there because,
Like a lot of people, we were overly confident that we were going to eat healthier snacks than we ended up eating.
Oh,
so there was
sure.
a lot of apples, bananas, fruits, things that need to be in a cooler.
Yeah.
That never would end up getting eaten, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was, by the time that we reached Wisconsin, there was very little that we valued other than a single block of cheese we bought in Toma.
Which. did end up rolling around the watery cooler and getting disgusting.
Like the process of eating that cheese was defined by, I think we got through halfway through this. If you don't know what this is, this is like an eight, maybe a, no, it wasn't even eight. The eight was too expensive for us. It was a 4-year aged block of cheddar in red
divine.
Wax. It was
divine.
Luxury. It was amazing.
Encased in red wax. It was a cube. It looked like a fucking red Minecraft block. Like a block of redstone.
It was from Humbird Cheese in Tomah, Wisconsin.
Worth your time if you're in the area.
And you know that there's somebody who lives nearby to, the Humbird Cheese or has been there before.
They're
and they
right
just
now,
like,
yes, yes.
No, they just got hit with a fucking psychic attack just now where they're just like,
yeah.
No, but we basically got like some Ritz crackers with that, or some sort of like butter cracker, a club cracker or something like that.
A club
and
cracker.
What we would do is, you know, if you were in passenger seat, that meant you were on cheese time, which meant that you took out Tucker's Leatherman and then
Skeletool.
You started cutting. Yeah, his Skeletool. And we start cutting into it with a knife far sharper than what the cheese called
it,
for.
You carve out a little chunk and you put it on a cracker and you feed it to the driver.
That's right. We were feeding the.
You were on cheese duty.
Well, that's how it was. It's funny too, because that's a mixture between that era and also we were sort of like just into driving at that point. So we were very much still 10 to 2. We were still 10 to 2 at that point. You know, hands on 10 to 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like you can't look your eyes off the road kind of thing.
Yeah. You don't take any risks.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Yeah, but along our trip, other than cheese, we
saw a lot of national parks.
Yeah, we saw a lot of national parks and we had a lot of experiences. I mean, since then, we've had a lot of separate experiences with national parks. But for that reason, we decided that today would be kind of a fun, because obviously Tucker and I we've both experienced a lot of national park experiences together, and
but
so
we've also done
a few apart. Yeah, that's true. So with all those experiences, we can put together a pretty close to very like real and honorable tier list of the national parks that we've been to.
So I comprised a tier list of the 15 parks that we've each been to. So some of these we went to together. And some we've
that's
only
a great
been
choice
separately.
On imagery too. Audio listeners, love you. Tucker made an awesome choice where he used the WPA artwork that was made in the 40s for these national parks. That's probably the coolest thing that's ever been around. The WPA. Remember back when the government was hiring artists, they were like, "Make us something beautiful," and now they're like,
"Yeah,
dude, we'll pay you $5,000 to just have a kid, please. We're losing population like flies."
Now that actually sounds like a pretty good idea, though.
$5,000
wants
to have
a kid.
Anybody having a kid in this
long
day and
way,
age?
That is going to help me tremendously next year.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, you're low key right. I mean, you could say
Ted's trying to take my benefits away.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. So, yeah, I guess we might as well get into this. Pretty much all of these are going to have a story associated with them in some capacity.
I have good memories associated with every single one I've been to. So,
yeah,
there will be some talk. And I think because we were already at Humbird Cheese and to pay respect to the great national park granddaddy, we should start with Teddy Roosevelt National Park.
Absolutely. Yeah. Teddy Roosevelt National Park.
Which is this guy right here. I wish you could see him better, but oh well.
You want to hear something slightly boring, but I have to mention it because it fulfills a piece of lore. I didn't really understand why Theodore Roosevelt had his own national park in the Dakotas until I read that one book that I bought at that bookstore in North Carolina, the El Dorado one. It was like a real
thick history book. Yeah, no, I know the book.
It was all about Teddy Roosevelt going out there and buying a ranch and just working in the fucking Dakotas and like talking about cow. Like it's very visceral. Dude, it's like
that guy had free time, man. He was like the president of the United States, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go hunting on the other side of the world for 2 months. You guys take care of things." comes back, signs a bill. He's like, "All right, now I got to go fly fishing for 3 months in Yosemite. I'll be back."
Yeah, I got to learn about fucking. I got to look at sticks, see which were the biggest stick, so I can speak softly with. In that book, I haven't finished that book at all, but it's like very visceral.
Dude,
no shot,
you were gonna finish that book. That thing was like this thick of history.
I still have it. It's not like I got
rid
of the book.
I'm working on it.
But there was a visceral description of that, of like this like rainstorm that came through and like all the cows fucking died on this ranch.
Seriously,
it was like reading about it. It's pretty interesting. It's written a little densely, though. It's written academically almost. Yeah. But it talks about, or I suppose it's just like nonfiction history story kind of stuff. It is interesting at the end of the day. I'll read it.
Yeah,
but
it's dense.
It's talking about like all the cows dying, and then it was raining or something, or snowing. Oh, you know what it was? It was a fucking
you just snowstorm.
It was a fucking snowstorm that came through the Dakotas, and all of the cows were surprised by this. They all fucking froze to death, and then they couldn't get rid of the cows because they didn't know where they were because there was so much fucking snow. So then when spring came, a bunch of rotting cow bodies happened, and then it was like all washing away. So it was like this description of like a fucking slurry of rotting cow that was just like a river or something. It was insane.
Do you know that still happens? I saw this picture the other day of in Yosemite or somewhere out west. There was a like record blizzard storm or something. And in the spring, there was just a line of dead elk that just got caught in the storm and died.
That's something that always confuses me. Like, they got no right dying in a storm.
They don't deserve that.
Well, they didn't deserve that. No, that's true.
They should be qualified.
Well, do you know what's fucked up, too? I bet they got flies on them after they died, too. They don't deserve that. That's not how you treat the dead. You know? That's not how you treat the dead. No, but, they got all that fur, you know? If I go outside in a storm like that,
if I had fur, dude, I don't think I'd ever die.
Oh, dude, I'm living for 100,000 years if I've got fur. That's all I need.
Yeah,
that's
just
all
move
we need.
North,
really,
and I'd live indefinitely.
Yeah,
but okay, so let's talk about the park though.
The Reaper shivers at the sight of someone with fur. The Reaper comes to take your life, and then all of a sudden you're like,
"Come
sorry
up with that."
I've been taken. The Reaper fears
a man with fur. That's what's going through your head right now.
Yeah, that is actually something that was echoing through my skull. That's the only thought that was bouncing around in there. Think about this: the Reaper shows up at your doorstep one day. You know he's coming, and you know he fears fur. And you've been taking hair growth hormone for 15 fucking years.
And you're just
he shows up, you look like a goddamn werewolf. And he like hisses at it like he's a vampire with garlic.
Like it's bright golden light. He's
like, yes, absolutely. Just one, I wish it's not even across the whole body. It's just like one center coil. Like, just like it all is centered around your chest and it just expands and pushes him away.
Do you wish you were a hairier guy?
Oh no.
All right, we'll leave it right there.
Why'd you laugh at that?
You seemed like that was like a horrible thing. You were like,
because it is. Well, no, you know what? Because
you're not like an exceptionally hairy guy. Like you're totally middle of the road, I'd say.
Yeah, I got like chest hair. I got a little bit of belly hair, and I got
You got facial hair.
I got the mustache. That's more of a choice. But I'll tell you what I really hope I don't get. This feels like a
sentence.
Are you
about to curse yourself?
Probably. Knocking on wood. Good thing my desk is made of wood. I don't want to get back hair, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got a little back hair. Not proud of it.
And another thing about back hair, I've heard that's a commonly known disgusting thing to have. I've heard leave their husbands because of their back hair.
No, dude, no. Don't go there.
Yeah, I've heard that like wives that just had their kid, they were like, wait, my husband's got back hair? I think I can find something better.
Have you found any gray hairs on your body yet?
Weirdly enough, I'm getting a lot of weird activity going on in the mustache right now. I've got like, I'll get like a gray hair come out.
Well, your dad's silver. Or he's white, actually.
That is something I've thought about. I'm pretty sure that he was gray by the time he was like 33.
He's got the same genetics as my grandfather. Like, they just went white. Like, full head of hair, white. It's weird.
Yeah, I think that I'm considering the possibility that, you know, it's one of those things where as you get older, you kind of have to come to terms with the fact that like, oh, shit, I am the son of my parents and that I might have to deal with these things that they dealt with. I'm not actually my own person. I'm a victim of DNA.
Yeah.
And, you know, I might actually, you know, within 6 years, like 5 years or something from now, like start going gray.
You could. I mean, if he was fully gray by 33... And you don't really have any gray yet.
Should I ask my dad? You know what? Let me call him. Let me call him.
Let's get Senior on the phone.
Hello.
Hey, Dad. You're on the podcast right now. I just have one question for you.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Okay, go.
What age did you start going really gray in the hair?
Really gray?
Yeah.
Mother would have an opinion. When did I really start going gray? When we got married, it wasn't fully gray. But when did I get like white?
Last 10 years, maybe?
Last 10 years?
Like, what?
I don't know.
I've never
had gray hair my entire life.
I know.
And you're almost 30.
It's probably like, I'll say 40.
40? When did you start like first getting like you started noticing like, oh, I'm going gray? Like what, at what age?
Oh, I was in my 20s. I was in my 20s when I started getting gray.
Oh, really? Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Like younger than me?
Yes, probably younger than you.
Okay, because what I was just talking about with Tucker is that I was like, I might have to deal with, you know, me going gray at like 32 or something because I'm pretty sure that you went gray pretty early on.
I did, yeah. So did my dad. My dad was gray early.
You might be in the clear.
Tom still has his hair color, as far as I can tell. Even when he lost a lot of it, but I mean, not at the age I did.
Huh. Okay. Noted. That's all I have for you today, Dad. Appreciate it.
Goodbye, Tom.
All right, very good. Carry on. See you.
All right, bye-bye.
Your mom's like, but wait, I actually want to speak to Teddy. Just like here in the
she
background.
She doesn't have the context around the podcast. No. So I... Okay, what's
you
our,
might
what's
be
our
okay.
take on that?
I'd say like yeah, might you be. Might you might be okay because I think you'd know by now. But your hair is brown. You're locked.
Yeah,
that's like
no,
a fresh
and it's
coat
dark
of paint.
Brown too. But I'll get like one.
Yeah,
I think in my recent memory I could it totals like maybe four of that I know of.
I haven't gotten any in my hair yet, but I've found like a silver eyebrow hair or like a white nose hair, or like a white hair on my face. Just randomly. But my hair on my head is still like dirty blonde. This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc. Now that I'm in my late 20s, the random mystery symptoms have really started to show up. One day it's a swollen eye, the next day it's back pain that just won't quit. And like most of us, I usually just Google it and then spiral out of control. And I'm sure many of you have gone down that rabbit hole just like me. But it's time to get the help and care you really need with ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. And we're talking about booking in-network appointments with over 100,000 doctors to choose from across a whole array of specialties, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can filter for doctors that take your insurance, are located nearby, are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. And you can also filter by specific preferences. If you want a male doctor, you can have it. Female doctor, you got it. Specific language requirement? No problem. It has availability to fit your schedule with next day appointments. Once you find the doctor that looks good for you, you can look at their appointment openings. Choose a time slot that works for you and click instantly to book a visit. And appointments that happen through ZocDoc are typically really fast, happening between 24 and 72 hours after booking. And there are same-day appointments out there, folks. And I'll admit it, I've never been a big doctor guy. I'm more of a self-diagnose and kind of put it off forever kind of dude. But the older I get, the more important I realize it is to have a doctor you can trust and to keep up with your health. ZocDoc has been so helpful in finding doctors both me and my wife can trust. If you're like me, I really recommend checking out ZocDoc. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/takeiteasy to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/takeiteasy. ZocDoc.com/takeiteasy. But we should rank this fucking part.
Yeah, yeah, no, we should rank. We should rank. I'm just having such a good time talking about my doom. All right, so Theodore Roosevelt, our experience at Theodore Roosevelt was like, we roll up, we're basically looking for what are bison. We? What are those little fuckers? No, those, oh, prairie dogs. Well, we were. Yeah, yeah. At that point, we had already seen bison because we had gone to Whoa. Custer State Park in South Dakota, and we had seen bison, so we were satisfied. We were hoping we'd see more. We were a little still hungry.
We put Custer State Park on this list because it's
oh, Custer State Park is. I would put that at an
A.
A. Yeah. That, yeah. Yeah. I would say that's an A. That is the spot. That is the park that we saw bison for the first time. We saw.
It's just this we named one of them Frank Sinatra. Like, pine meadow, Dakota. Like eco region, it's really unique and it's very cool.
Yeah, do you know why specifically that one was made a national park, or because it kind of just seemed like we were in the woods?
You mean a state park?
A state park. A park. Why was it made like a protected area? Do you think?
Well, they have bison. It's hilly, and it probably was donated by someone. Custer is like a famous Americana name.
Some fucking. Oh yeah, wait, Custer. That's a guy who. Okay, that's actually a guy who I think killed a lot of Native Americans.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah. So in honor of his conquest, they said we're going to name this chunk of land.
Yeah, let's see what. So he was a United States Army officer, American Civil War, American Indian Wars. He was in the Union.
Oh, he was on our side.
He was on the north, but then
north versus
he also,
south, common enemy, indigenous people.
I guess he might have not been Wounded Knee. I think that Wounded Knee was just something that poisoned my mind because of BioShock Infinite, and so I just assumed that anything related to that stuff is Wounded Knee. But I do know that he definitely killed a lot of things. I mean, on his
manifesting
page,
some destiny. If you catch my drift,
there's him. There's him. Posing with our first grizzly. He's got a dead grizzly bear and he's just hanging out with it. He probably shot it with the highest caliber rifle they make at the time. Yeah. But
so Custer, probably not a great guy. Great park though. Great park. We had
good
a really
time
good time
park.
There. Magical experience. We were there in the evening, golden hour. It was nice. But Teddy Roosevelt, I would say, is like a B tier. It's cool,
yeah,
but it's
kind of
more
just dry. Like we would see like an occasional animal out in the. Because the thing is, when we would go to these national parks, we did no research on like how good they were, any information about them. We were just like, "There's a national park there, and
Let's
if the government says we got to keep it, then it must be good." So we drove
saw,
up there.
Feral horses.
Did we?
Yeah, we saw some feral horses at Teddy Roosevelt, which was cool.
I would have broken them. if I had the strength I have now, I would have broken them, dude.
Dude, I would love to watch you try to break a horse because I don't think you could do it. I couldn't
imagine,
I don't even know how I'd get on a horse.
Okay, but think about this. Imagine me going up to that horse. I'm sneaking up. I get on that
dude,
thing. You're like ready
I would
for me to
pay to watch that.
You're ready for me to like get kicked in the chest and just have a cavity in my chest for the rest of my life, like
fuck
Ludwig.
You up so bad.
And and I get on that horse and like music from somewhere just starts playing. It is like,
you find a dusty cowboy hat in the grass.
You hear
right
a
there,
whip, put it a on. Whip cracks in the distance. There's reverb across the whole valley. And then that horse is neighing in the air. I got it. And I break that horse. You would be mad for weeks.
We would no longer be friends. That that would be it.
Just because, like, just that's, the weight of something so unbelievably cool that,
yeah,
like,
too
you
cool.
can't even be around me.
It, like, it's like, that's
like,
it.
You look at me
just...
and you, like, throw up in your mouth because you're so pissed about it. Like, you're like, I can't, dude. It was
yeah,
too
no,
cool.
That would be it. Right there.
Oh, all right. All the artists out there that care about us and want to see me smile, make a drawing of me just breaking shit out of a horse.
Like silhouette
and
cowboy
and Tucker's
hat holding
in the
mane.
Distance. Oh, absolutely.
I'm in the
and
distance.
Tucker's
just
in the
like,
distance. Yeah. Meg, if you're listening right now, there's an idea for you right there. Meg.
Who's Meg?
Meg is the artist that made that animation that I sent you of me and Schlatt killing Charlie and then you... became
oh,
our new roommate.
I commented on that. That was really good.
Yeah, no, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, no, that was really cool. Meg, nice job.
Yeah, make one of those and then have Tucker in the background just being like seething, just
yeah, maybe with
so
one of those little like
mad.
Like pound sign things on my forehead.
Yeah, yeah, a little like what is that? That's like a vein. I think that's like an emphasis of a vein sort of
oh,
popping
yeah,
out
a little
of
like
your,
anime
your,
vein.
Yeah, absolutely.
Little steam. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. Though.
So that's what happened to us, and that's what happened to us in Theodore Roosevelt. This is actually a true story.
Broke
I actually
the
did. In fact, I broke several horses. They used to be feral. After we left, none of the horses in Theodore Roosevelt National Park were feral. We just kept breaking them over and over again. They asked us to stop. They were like, "Can you stop domesticating these horses? It's actually kind of a valuable thing." And we said, "Fuck you. Go kill yourself." So that was a really good time there.
Really good time.
And we moved on from there.
So Badlands, we hit Badlands sort of.
I don't even know if we went into Badlands, to be honest with you. Badlands, I think that we drove
hard.
Past it.
It was hard to know
kind of, oh
the
you know
borders.
What did you put in Petrified Forest into the
I did.
Oh, okay. Well, we for Badlands, I think that we didn't really go to Badlands because that's in South Dakota, and I think we drove past it, but what we saw in Theodore Roosevelt National Park
was
the biome of a Badlands.
Yeah, it looked
like they look very similar.
It's crazy. It's like, it truly is like unusable land.
Yeah, no, it
sucks.
Is the most straight to the point
the
definitional.
Worst, yeah,
like,
it's just the worst land in America.
Like, yeah, like let's.
We cordoned off the worst land we have, and we made it a national tourist attraction.
Yeah, they didn't need to protect that.
Yeah,
no one
nobody
was
wanted
use
it.
That shit. That's just bad. Like bad land.
It's just bad land.
Like that's like naming a village dumb town. Like we don't need to do that. That's rude to the land.
Honestly, I would say it's a D tier national park. It's got bison and stuff, but it just kind of a bummer.
It was. It's like there's bummer in the name. It's sort of, you know, there's not a lot going on.
I don't think there's going to be an F tier experience here because, like, the national parks are all great.
Oh, yeah. Because it's, first of all, you're getting out of the house.
You're getting out of the house.
Getting out of the house. You're touching grass.
And you're going all the way to South Dakota.
Yeah. I mean, back then, a lot of people will probably be in the comments and they'll be like, oh, I'm surprised that you guys were able to like deal with driving across those piers. Cause you know, some of our viewers are probably from South Dakota and have gone on those highways their whole lives. But for us, when we were driving out in the Midwest,
super
it was
new experience.
Phenomenal for us. We have such a hard time doing long drives. Pretty much anywhere you're from, you're going to have a hard time doing a long drive in the area that you're used to.
Yeah, hard agree.
So like for us, like if you're going, like I'm sure when you and Emma drove down to Florida, I'm sure that was miserable.
Oh, it sucked, dude. The East Coast sucks to drive up and down.
Because it's every highway
it's just
is
woods.
Just woods on the right, woods on the left.
It's just woods.
Maybe you'll see like a cliffside that's been dynamited out to make room for the highway. But other than that, Woods on the right.
You're talking about like driving from Boston to Western Mass on I-90 is just woods. Yeah. And you might
going
get
north
that
to south. The yeah, like going north to south, the only thing that changes is just the amount of, what is it, kudzu that shows up.
Oh, yeah, that invasive vine.
Yeah, that's yeah. the only thing. It's like all and of a sudden you, it's like a little more lush here.
We went a little bit inland, so we got a little bit of relief, I think, in like Virginia, because we're in kind of the mountainous portion. So you get mm-hmm. a little terrain, which is nice. But, dude, it is just temperate woods. From Maine yeah. to Florida.
Oh.
Oh, well, yeah. that I should talk about the Everglades. Have you been to the Everglades?
I have not.
Dude, I would
but
go
wait.
There with you.
So we're done on Badlands. And we rank Badlands what? A B.
D. Delta.
D. Easy. Fine. D for dumb. Don't go.
Everglades. When you're ready to go to the Everglades, I will be there.
Wait. That's an interesting way to put that. Like, are you implying that I'm not emotionally ready to go to the Everglades?
You are not fucking ready. Your birds need
you
serious
were?
Work. Your birding okay. needs a lot of work. Your trees need work. Do okay. you even own a pair of waders? Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those are pants you for
are,
going
when,
in water.
When
those
you
are pants
are,
for going in water. Are they not?
They are. They are. But when you're ready, I'll be there. I want to go back okay. so bad. I'm like trying to convince my sister to go down there so I can go again.
But I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. You know, I'm going to come to you one day and I'm going to be like, Tucker, I'm ready. And you're going to go, you're not. You're not. You're yeah. not ready.
No,
you're
going to
turn
ain't.
This in. You're going to turn yourself into the fucking guardian of the Everglades.
And
I'm
going
to have
to
be like, Tucker,
that.
Please let me go to the Everglades. And I'm going to have to sneak in there. I'm going to have to sneak into the Everglades. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to wake up one night and I'm going to hear some sloshing in the water because I'm going to be camping out there. And it's not going to be a fucking alligator. Dude. It's going to be Tucker slowly moving through the water with his head out, looking right at me.
You like flashlight me? I'm like, dude, there's a barred owl up there.
That's you're not even like mad about it. Like you're just like fully engrossed in the animals at this point. You're like,
dude, did you see that over there? That's right. Oh, my God.
But for some reason, your eyes are like a cat.
Yeah, they're you're shining flashlight on me. They're reflecting 100% of the light.
It's just I'm just getting hit by the flashlight. Like it's not even affecting you. It's like
oh,
going,
I'm picturing
it's going it's
you.
Me.
You catch me looking around. You catch me in the dark with a flashlight beam, and I'm yeah. like hunched with some binoculars, and my eyes are just reflecting all of the light.
That's
but
horrifying.
Everglades S tier park. It is incredible.
Yeah.
It is first nat here's a trivia for you. First national park created for its biodiversity, not geology.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, that's fair. There is a lot of geology based sort of
yeah, like Yosemite,
parks.
Yellowstone, Badlands, they're all like geological features that are beautiful. This is the yeah. biodiversity.
My
like,
ass.
The ecological aspect is so incredible that they preserved it. And
yeah.
it is. It really is incredible. We camped in Flamingo, Florida, which is deep in the Everglades. We did in a tent. If I were to go back, they have like little bungalows you can rent, and I think I would do it.
You should.
Because the
is that
tent,
another? Is that another like possible take it easy episode? The Everglades episode. We're just like miserable, covered in bugs. We're like, fuck this.
If you get your birding up. I'll go with you.
Okay. Because
the birds
okay.
there are like best I've ever seen on Earth. Like
okay,
there's
that's
just
cool.
birds everywhere.
You're getting me a little bit. You're getting me a little bit excited. You might. Yeah. You must have been just like,
oh. Dude, it was awesome.
Were you stressed? Were you stressed like you were in Kenya?
A twinge, a little tad bit.
Yeah, I feel
well,
like it's funny. You document. Have sort of a masochistic relationship with biodiversity. Like you want it, and the more that there is of it. But the more that there is of it for you and then, you being yeah. in that environment, the more stressed out you are. Like,
it's
I feel like if we discover life on another planet, we can somehow teleport Tucker there. He would have a panic attack, I think. I think that you would have a panic attack. I think you might have a heart attack.
There's too much to categorize.
Oh, that's so funny. It totally makes sense why Pokemon is like your favorite game of all time.
Well, I think that. playing Pokemon and doing the Pokedex back then, and Pokemon is like pretty, like, especially like the Gen 3 games, they pushed like conservation and like ecology and stuff a lot. Like that was a theme in the game. And yeah. then filling out the Pokedex and stuff, I think that did kind of help encourage an interest in like wildlife and like categorize, you know.
Can I make a statement though that might be a little bit controversial?
Yep.
There's yep. no way that the society in Pokemon wasn't like almost fully socialist.
Oh yeah, dude, it's fucked. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like they're like that is a communist society that they live in. You're telling me that these kids are going out into the wilderness at 11 years old with not really too much danger in their way and are just like,
yeah,
they're getting like
when you start like peeling back the layers, it really stops making sense.
Yeah, because
you're like, no, so are there awesome. Animals and like, do you guys get paid? And are there no like aggressive Pokemon?
I feel like the like Pokemon as a series is sort of like, in my head, I imagine it's like one guy trying to explain a dream he had as a kid. Like he woke up from a dream and he was like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to explain this world that I just had.
There's just enough for it to be really compelling, but there's not enough to accurately like create lore.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of just have to take it at face value. But yeah,
can I also say something about Florida, though?
Okay.
I'm totally taking it back towards the Everglades in Florida. Flamingo, you said, was the town. One of the weirdest
town
things
is
about
a strong word. It's a location.
Okay, location. Something I noticed in driving through Florida is like sometimes they'll just give like the most, they'll just be like, what's something tropical? And then they'll name that. Like you could be driving through a town in Florida and just be called like Pina Colada.
Yeah.
But then you'll go a little bit inland and you'll be in like Deathville.
Deathville. Well, just outside the Everglades feels like Deathville. It's just like greater Miami farm sprawl, like agricultural sprawl, and it sucks to drive through. It sucks.
All right. Well,
but when you're ready,
I'm ready, I'll be able to go to an S tier spot. All right, lock that in. That's locked
in. That's locked in. Take the next pick.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.
Glacier National Park, S tier.
S tier. Defend
without
it.
Defend it?
I imagine this is Glacier. Right,
I would
here.
Say I would say that, wait, let me look at it, because I have the that well, is
there's a,
I think.
There's a few different versions of each postcard.
Yeah,
it's gotta be. It's Grizzlies on there. Yeah. That's like the Skipping Stone Rocks there.
I can't see that nearly as good as you can, but like
it's Glacier enough.
You're moving all over the place. I can't see anything right now. Get an unbeatable flavor with Flavor Sealed. Get fresh flavor. There's like a million ads on audio listeners. There's a million. There's a pap. Okay, for you know that Tucker's a married man when he's getting a ad for paprika on his fucking Google Chrome. He's getting a paprika ad.
Hold
that's
on.
Great. You're getting an ad for spices, dude.
I have something to say about
hilarious.
Ads.
Hilarious.
Well, my my last two ad blockers have broken. So now I'm in the depths of the internet without any protection on. So I'm hurting. But ads. So we watch a lot of Always Sunny, and we've been watching Mormon Wives or whatever, and they're both on Hulu. Hulu does not give you targeted ads. Hulu is
they're just throwing shit at the walls.
They just throw it, and it's like cable. Like within a month of watching Hulu, you'll get like a lot of the same ad, but it like switches in long term. So you get like lots of old people vaccine ads. You get like the same DoorDash ad. But they're not curated. So you see a lot of it feels like watching cable. It's kind of fun. It's like, oh, here we go. It's this ad again.
I was at a hotel once and I decided to go on Nickelodeon. And I had that experience where I just started seeing the commercials and I was like, damn, dude. They're like, that was the shit we were watching when we were kids. I mean, you know, Cocomelon's a lot for little children, you know, but I mean, Nickelodeon, some of those commercials were just like colors, colors, colors. Like they made full ass fucking songs for these ads. They were like just explaining how to use the toy, like put it in the box, then crank it up and then out comes a plushy toy. And it's like,
it made me think like, damn, advertising money, like targeted ads must be so much more efficient. Because these untargeted ads, it's like, if you're over the age of 65, you could still need the HPV vaccine. I'm like, dude, this does not apply. You are wasting your money.
When it comes to targeted ads, they know you're over the age of 65.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I wonder, let me know in the comments if you are experiencing the same thing on Hulu.
But anyways, for my defense of Glacier National Park, the first time I went ever was with you in 2016.
Yes. We saw Mountain Goat.
We had a really good time. I've never been to Glacier Park for more than a day, though. It's like a day visit thing, which is not a bit of a shame. But I mean, out of all the places that you could just straight up drive through, the Going to the Sun Road is a phenomenal drive. I think that they're charging now for it. I think they're charging people now.
Well, that's got to be one of the best like national park drives, because a lot of national parks have like a loop. That's probably your best one.
Like it's a little bit out of the way, a lot of it out of the way. It's pretty much it sits on the border of the United States and Canada.
It's up there
in Montana. And
it's a very isolated park.
But like it's one of those things where you go through that on that road, on that drive, and it really does. I mean, especially coming from where we come from, you know, it feels everything's the scale of the geography when you go west is just so much larger. Like the scale of it is so much bigger. When it comes to certain things, like I think just, you know, the Appalachian mountain range is like the oldest mountain range it's like older than the dinosaurs.
It's older than bones, dude.
Yeah. It's older than fucking bones, man. So like all that's been worn down over so many years that it's like, there's not as much going on.
There's not as much like extreme terrain.
And yeah, there's just, it's all of a sudden like you decided to start a new Minecraft world and you were like choosing the extreme terrain.
Yeah, the extreme terrain. Yeah. So everything's just a fucking pain in the ass to get around.
Yeah. So it was just like certain things were things that I didn't really get a chance to see when I was a kid. One of those, namely being it being the summer and seeing a white capped mountain in the distance.
Yeah.
That was a very unique experience that started with Glacier.
And we were there like late June.
So doing the Going Through the Sun Road, that was like entering another world. Really. It was like, what is happening? Like you were looking out over this distance and it was a vista that, you know, was phenomenal. It was something I'd never seen before. On top of that, we got to see mountain goats, which is something I'd never seen before.
I haven't seen
when
since.
We were there. And just like all the photos that I took, and I was really into my camera at the time too, of taking photography. I wish I had had, if I was, I wish I was in my disposable phase. Having disposables of that would have been really cool too.
I've got all those pictures. I'll bring everything to you this weekend.
Yeah, I need it because it's on one of my old computers somewhere and hidden in the depths. But I think it was just like a really cool moment. It was somewhat of the marker of being about a third through the trip. And it was definitely like, we are so far from home at this point, and we're in this magical land. It was just, yeah, no, it was just great.
Yeah, that was, and we had come out of the Dakotas, so it was like we had been in the Midwest and super flat biome for a long time, and all of a sudden it was like big time Rocky Mountains. So it was a really cool, with like roaring rivers and ice and cliffs and huge.
You know what I think? It made me feel small and part of something in an environmental sense, in the same way that driving into New York City and seeing the scale of the city makes you feel small in a societal sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Because like when you're driving in from like maybe like New Jersey or something into New York City,
you can see the city,
the size of the city. It's so compressed with those tall buildings that there is an awe in
that. Well, that's how it felt when we were coming across Montana and we were approaching the mountains. Because the eastern part of Montana is very much flat and plains. But then you can see the Rockies. And then we're just approaching them and you start to feel smaller and smaller as you're approaching this incredible terrain.
Absolutely.
That was a really good feeling. And we were doing it at sunset. Driving west.
And also, another thing about Glacier is that as we were at the beginning, there crystal clear water lake that we went on, and there was the smoothest, most perfect beach of just skipping rocks.
Yeah, it was just like every single rock was perfect.
Because every single
curated.
One of those rocks had basically, you know, been eroded over the years going through the glacier coming through. Like, I imagine most of those rocks were either sitting atop the glacier or whatever, and they had, as the glacier melted, they kind of like fell through it, and like the water,
I think it eroded it
in that way. I can't really think of any other reasonable explanation other than just looking it up, which I don't care to do.
It was just the amount of perfect rocks.
Yeah, it was. And I used to keep them in this.
I might have one in my box. I have a box back there of trinkets and little items.
They might be somewhere else, but I do have a series of those rocks just because sometimes I like to hold them and just kind of run my thumb over them and stuff.
Yeah, they do feel good. And they're natural. They're not like from a store.
When I came out to LA in 2020, I did that sort of a very similar road trip that we did with my dad, and I took my dad to Glacier, and it was like there was this very fun, nice, peaceful moment where my dad laid on the rocks and just took a nap, and then I skipped rocks for like 40 minutes.
That's a good time, though.
Yeah. No, it was great.
That was probably really peaceful.
No, it was awesome. So,
all right, let's pick another.
Would you agree with that rating, that S-tier rating there?
Yeah, it is an S-tier.
Oh, wait, and one more thing about Glacier National Park, just because I got to get it out, and I just can't, I got to
get
it
out. Get it
out,
spit it out.
There's an unbelievable amount of scale to, like, what could be possible if you were to visit Glacier. The amount of backcountry in that park is very, I mean, it's similar to the amount of backcountry that you would find in Yosemite, which is a lot of people don't know about, is that like you could go backpacking for weeks in these parks.
There's a ton of terrain.
There's a bunch of trails up in the mountains with like, there's like a lake, like a very crystal clear lake up there. I'm pretty sure there are like some seriously really, really, really cool trails that I hope to someday be able to do in Glacier National Park.
I would do that.
And that's the end of my statement on the subject.
Do you want to flip back to an East Coast one?
Yeah.
Acadia?
Sure.
Have you been to Acadia? Yeah, you've been to Acadia. Yeah, we've been to Acadia separately.
I would give Acadia an A.
Agree. But I do
But you had it, but you had a little bit of a trepidation.
I think that we're biased because
that's where
we
you had
really
your honeymoon.
That's where we were in Bar Harbor and Acadia, but I also just think it's like as perfect as kind of New England gets.
The people in the comments are going to say that Tucker's ranking an experience he had with Ted higher than his own honeymoon.
Well, we're ranking the parks here. We're ranking the parks.
Yeah, no, okay. You're right. I'm just saying that's going to be out there, and you know, Emma, you got to be resistant to that propaganda. It's propaganda.
But you got to be resistant to that. They're going to try to get in your head.
I know that you're clenching your cheeks right now, but Emma, hold it together, all right? She's fucking sitting there editing. She's curling her toes. She's grinding her teeth.
Yeah, Katie is really pretty. It's like quintessential New England. Yeah. Beautiful lighthouses. It's not as geologically or biologically impressive, but it's just a beautiful, peaceful location.
I'll tell you a cool thing, though, about Acadia that I may have told Tucker to do, and I may also know that he did not do it.
It's the first place in America where you can see the sunrise.
Whoa. Wow. Way to twist my words to make me sound like a little tiny cherub baby. When you are in fact the cherub, sir.
I didn't do this. I didn't do this, and Ted has not let me forget it. This is probably the eighth time you've brought this up since I went there.
So the first time that I ever went to Acadia was when I did sort of, I had gone to sleepaway summer camp for several years. And then they, after you grew out of it, you know, you become a CIT and then you grow out of it. There's one more year thing that you can do, but it's not related to going to the camp. It's called Teen Adventure Camp. And essentially what it is maybe it's something that happens after the year, that the summer that you're a CIT, whatever the case, it's two counselors. And then like maybe six or seven campers, like teenagers, in a fucking van. And you just drive through like the whole like northern New England area of New Hampshire and like Maine and stuff. And you go and camp out and go to a bunch of national parks and do a bunch of like cool, fun stuff. Like, you know, there was it was weather based on the things that you could do. But I think one of the things that we were supposed to do was like go like. I think maybe like fly fishing or something. I think it was something that we were supposed to do, or like do some sort of like lobster thing. But what we did do is we 100% went to Acadia, and there were some really cool hikes in Acadia too. One of them was this one that was like Bumblebee Trail or something like that.
Yeah, the Bumblebee hike. Yeah, it goes up the mountain.
It's really cool because there's this period where you kind of don't really feel safe at all. And that's the part where they've got a bunch of handholds as you're like climbing along the side. It felt like I was playing, what is it? Far Cry? I felt like I was in Far Cry.
Yeah, there's a like little bit. Iron, like rebar, like handholds in the rock that you can use to like navigate some more precarious parts of the hike.
Wait, no, it's not Far Cry that I'm referencing. I need to make sure this Assassin's reference is correct. Creed? No, it's the one with the guy, and he's always falling, and they made a new movie about it. Tom Holland video game movie. Uncharted. It felt like I was in Uncharted.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really cool. But the biggest thing that I wanted Tucker to do was, you'd have to wake up very early for it, but at the top of Cadillac Mountain, you can go to the top there, and it's this phenomenal view, as long as you have good weather permitting. Phenomenal view of like Maine is like interesting. This is probably occurs other places up on that east side of the continent, probably northern in like British Columbia and stuff like that. But or I'm thinking fucking
like Prince Edward North Island.
Yeah, like up Nova up Scotia north and whatever. Yeah, Nova Scotia. These little tiny islands that are just fully filled to the brim with trees that are peppered out in the sea. And at this spot on the East Coast, it is the first place on the Eastern Seaboard that sees the sun at the top of Cadillac Mountain. Like, so
within the light
that you
see
that, within the United States. So at the top of Cadillac Mountain that morning, it was like we were the first people in the United States getting hit by light that morning, which was really cool. And I felt like it was very special.
Damn, the sun probably rises early as hell in Newfoundland and Nova Scotia.
Yeah, probably. So yeah, that's my feelings on Acadia.
Yeah, it's a cool place. Worth a visit.
Yeah.
But not as like monumentally impressive as like a Yosemite or something.
Yeah.
So let's do Yosemite. What else we got
here? Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Oh, Yosemite?
I have mixed.
Yosemite is the Disneyland of national parks. I'll say it.
I think Yosemite in its natural state, like Yosemite Valley with the river in there and the cliffs, is probably one of the most stunning locations on Earth. But it is so filled to the brim with people that now that you have to reserve it like a year in advance.
Yeah, you basically, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Yosemite started selling a fast pass.
Seriously, Yosemite,
it is really, really busy. And like, we haven't even done anything. Like, we never did the Half Dome. We never did a lot of stuff, but we did do the Vernal Falls hike.
I went in 2020 as well with Emma's family. Mm-hmm. And it was brutal with how many people and cars, because you're down in the valley and you want to relax and look at everything, but there's just like traffic, like,
yeah,
in the, it's really upsetting. I think it was also the first national park, right? So
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I think it was the first one because Teddy Roosevelt was like, wow, this is so incredible. We got to start setting these aside.
Yeah. we start saving these for later.
Yeah.
You started bookmarking shit.
I think it's so stunning and it's so close to like such a metropolitan hub like LA that it brings the crowds. It's within driving distance of LA.
Yeah, it's like 5.5 hours away from LA or something like that.
Yeah. I did the drive from 29 to there. That drive sucked.
How long was that?
It was to a campsite. It was 7 hours. I got a speeding ticket and we stayed at the highest elevation campsite in America. Mm. We didn't even know that till recently. Larry just saw that on something. It was over 10,000 feet.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I drove all the way up there.
A lot of gas right there. All right, so we gotta bang through these.
Yeah.
What do we got?
We gotta just remember, that's a C tier, I'm gonna say, by the way. That Yosemite's a C tier due to the popularity.
Okay, what else?
You got,
Arches. Here?
I've never been to Arches. Why don't you slam us with the deets?
Arches was a blast. I went there one time with when I was originally going out to LA for my LA semester at Ithaca. We went to Arches and that was really, really cool. We got to see the arches and we did a free campsite.net spot that was in a canyon. And that was really, really cool. The next time I tried to do Arches was on the Rainforest Cafe trip with Eddie. No.
Didn't you guys issue or something?
No, it was on the Margaritaville trip. Yeah, I was getting to that. I think it was on the Margaritaville trip. Yeah. And we ran into two sets of issues. The first one was that we were showing up way too late and it was already getting dark. And I wanted to do kind of a similar thing, but I couldn't find where that original spot I had gone to with Ross was. And I found one and I guessed it, but it was one of those zones where it was like a 4x4 zone thing. And we start doing the drive up this road. Eddie, admittedly, you know, he was very much so leaning on the side of like caution. But I wanted to be like impressive and no show my road trip like
prowess.
And I was like, oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. FYI, I'm being an idiot in this story. we start driving up this fucking road and it, you know, the rocks start coming in. There starts being like more and more rocks. It's like, you know, I'm like rolling over. I'm like, oh, okay, it's okay. But it's dark.
You guys are in a rental,
we get
right?
to the point where, what?
You guys are in a rental during this, right?
We're in a rental during this, I think. And we get to a point where it is like so rocky, so intense that we're like, and I'm looking at the navigation and we're not even like a third of the way there. And we're anxious the whole time. And it's one of those things where, you know, at that point, we were just like, we got to call it quits. So I had to do a 3-point turn on like the side of this fucking like cliffy 4x4 road. It was ridiculous. Like reasonably like I was in the fucking doghouse a little bit for that because I fucked up.
It's a quiet ride back down the hill.
Yeah, but then it was one of those things where, you know, that always happens on road trips where it's like you just have, you know, they're little.
You're gonna make a mistake at some point. Yeah,
absolutely. And that was my big one for that trip. But we managed to fucking recover, because later on we just found like a patch in the middle of like this flat land outside of Arches. And we just kind of pulled the truck up, put the tent up, and then we entered the illusion and we had s'mores, which was pretty cool. Nice. We had s'mores off of like the fucking propane thing, propane that fire like, thing.
That sounds cozy.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. But then the next day we get there, we show up to Arches. This was the most tragic part.
Okay.
Arches had just, because of COVID, started doing reservations.
Oh, and that's horrible.
It wasn't like that last time. And so we show up and they're like, yeah, no. But luckily it was early in the morning, so we got ahead of our things. But it was a real bummer, because I was really hoping, after that disappointment of the fucking rock drive, that we'd be able to fucking go into Arches and get some awesome shots, see some cool arches of rock. But no, we had to keep moving on. But
where would you rank it?
Oh, as a park? I haven't seen too much of it, because it's really been one of those parks that I've stopped in and just looked at the main good thing and then kind of left. I would say it would have been an A if it would have been an A if they hadn't started doing reservations. But also at the same time, I can't knock them for that, because they're trying to control the flow of people to conserve the area. So I guess I'll keep it an A. No, B. I would B plus. B plus.
We'll call it a B.
B plus. So B plus.
A southwestern park we both went to, Grand Canyon. I don't know if you've been back since, really. We kind of just stopped.
I've been to the Grand Canyon 3 times.
I think I've only been the once. And I think that Grand Canyon would have been a lot cooler if you go there for like a week and you do hikes and you get down in it and you do it. We just observed it when I was there, which it was like a C-tier experience. But
I feel like it's the Grand Canyon. It's got to be at least a B.
Yeah, I think it's a B, and I think it could be a lot more had I gotten the chance to get in there with my bird guide and some hiking boots.
Yeah, I think that's where the stuff that where it's like we only know it from a pure tourist getting off a bus perspective.
Yeah.
Are going to go in the B, because but we want more for them, and we know we can experience more from them. I'll tell you what, I'll put fucking, what do we have left here? What are these?
We got Joshua Tree, Petrified Forest, Redwood, White Sands, Yellowstone.
I put White Sands at a fucking S, just because of how fucking cool that was. Well,
where is this? I know nothing about this park.
This is in New Mexico. This is Rolling Dunes, simply Rolling Dunes of White Sand.
That sounds pretty cool. Can you go in it, or like
you know
you're
that
supposed
one?
To keep
you know that one? You know on that my playlist, Toyota Tacoma Part 2.
The you just made a post about it.
I did. The photo there is the truck at White Sands.
Please listen to my music with me, guys.
I think I'm totally valid in doing that.
I would be lying if I said I hadn't listened to your playlist before.
Yeah, I feel like I'm really good at curating a playlist. I take it really seriously. This is like,
you're right.
Because, you know, a lot of these playlists, it's mostly for me. Like, the majority of it is for me, but I like to share things with people that I like. And so this doing this act doesn't make me any money or anything. It's just more of satisfaction. It's a compulsive act.
Oh, it's
that
cool.
It is cool.
I'm a little jealous.
You can start this journey on your own as well. You can do.
I'm not ready.
I'll tell you what.
I'm not ready. I have to get ready, and then I'll debut my music. Which
yeah,
is
Schlag.
Actually mine.
Schlag's also like sort of a curator as well. Yeah, Schlag.
Schlag has excellent curating abilities. That's one of his strengths as a person.
But yeah, no, so the Toyota Tacoma playlist, the original one, that one is taken. That photo, low-key, that photo is actually a composite. It's a mixture, but you can throw this up on screen, but it's a mixture between a photo I took taken in South Dakota, like the background of the green grass in the sky. And then the truck itself is a photo that I had taken when we were at the pit stop on the day before we went to Yellowstone National Park. Or no, sorry. Oh, dude, the fuck. Wait, was that? That was Yellowstone, wasn't it? Wait, no, it was Yellowstone. I'm confused.
You're glitching.
Those fucking pits that we were looking at, those hot pits.
Yeah, was that Yellowstone?
Oh, okay. It felt like a different park almost entirely.
Yeah, those like geothermal pools.
Yeah.
They're really scary looking.
They were scary looking.
Yeah I don't like thinking about those. Somebody got completely dissolved in one recently.
They probably deserved it.
Except their shoes. Like anything like the plastic or something doesn't dissolve in that.
Oh, that's scary. Yeah.
And if someone falls in, that's like kind of it. Like they can't really save you.
Yeah. Anyways, just to finish the thought. That took the playlist thing. Each of these playlists are from a particular period of my life. So the original Toyota Tacoma playlist is from 2016, from when we went on our road trip to 2019. So there are songs in here that
it's kind of like your college playlist.
Yeah, essentially like my first road trip, moving to college, entering adulthood is the description of it. Then the next playlist is the internet exclamation point. And I made this weird thing in Photoshop of just my profile picture, but then I fucked with it. And it's 29 to 20. It was like when I first started growing on YouTube, and it was like my life was changing in that way. And so this music, I think back of like that summer of 2019 when I first started streaming and stuff, and I started, you know, actually making money off of this job. And so I can listen to those songs and I remember that where I was then. And then Toyota Tacoma Part 2 is when that sort of period ended, and I sort of I turned 25. I was already far out of college, and I was already sort of maturing as a content creator. Like I'm in the space now. And so I was like, this is sort of a different era, I feel like. And so
an era
I was
of
going,
stability.
And I was also going through like sort of like, yeah, like a different, like other changes in my life. And so that's like 2023 to 2024. And then recently this year, I have felt like there's just been a vibe shift as well in my life again, in which case I decided yesterday
to start a new chapter.
Which is essentially just 2025. Like I took some of the songs that were in part two and added them to this new one to like account for it, because I was like, realistically, this started a while ago. I just kind of realized it now. And that playlist is now officially called Soul Update.
Soul Update. That's funny. That's a good.
Yeah.
You got a good thing going right now.
Yeah. And then maybe someday I'll have a part three of Toyota Tacoma, but that will not. I'll only do a trilogy of Toyota Tacoma. You know?
Yeah. And then an epilogue when you finally like get a new car. That's like the songs that pay homage to the truck, like your heavy hitters from every chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all these songs I've listened to in the truck.
But... okay. But the parks. The parks. I'm going to do an easy one. Petrified Forest, I'm going to say, is like a solid D tier. If you're a nerd, you're like a geology nerd, I think it could totally be an awesome place. But if you're not a geology nerd, it's not.
Yeah, if you're not a slutty little hoe for geology.
Yeah, it's not going to be like as impactful. That's kind of how I feel the Everglades is a little bit. Like, the Everglades are beautiful, but if you're a biology nerd, they really hit. And I think that's how Petrified is probably for people, is like you got to be a geology nerd to really appreciate it.
Yeah, you got to be a fucking...
We didn't even intend on hitting that one. It just happened to be on our trip. Yeah. And we were like, oh shit, let's go.
We came upon it. We came upon it for sure. We were just like, okay, fine.
Yellowstone, I feel...
That's an A.
Really? I was going to go lower, but Yellowstone is very popular, and it's got a lot of traffic and
people. That was a good day. We had like a lot of good moments. I think that we got there early, so we got some pretty more peaceful experiences with the geothermal pools. And
you're right.
And we got to see Old Faithful go off like several times. I think that I would have normally put it S, but the reason why I put it A was because of the fact that we had witnessed a group of people being so disrespectful to the laws of honor and courtesy and nature in a national park that we witnessed people walking out across the fragile Yellowstone geothermal crust to take photos of bison.
Yeah, there are signs in Yellowstone that say, like, warning, thin crust.
Like the you will fall through thin. And your ankles will be in
you're
like
dead.
1,000 Kelvin water. And these and like these motherfuckers like were like walking. They were like a football field off the road.
Yeah.
Like a full like we saw that. I remember this. And they were getting like
they're trying to get a close up bison picture.
Yeah, they were trying to get a close-up bison picture. It was like the most dangerous and wrong situation you could be in. One, you were on the ground you shouldn't be on. You were putting yourself in danger of the ground itself. You were, two, breaking the rules at the park by getting off the road and going somewhere that wasn't, you know, specified for that. And three, approaching wild bison for a fucking Facebook photo is crazy.
Yellowstone's problem is similar to Yosemite's, whereas like Yosemite's within driving distance of like Los Angeles County. Yellowstone is like the picture perfect park that like international tourists or even like Americans, like if you're going to go to one, a lot of people go to that one. So you get a lot of people there. But it is really unique and cool.
Yeah. It's funny.
It's an A.
I think that Yellowstone, like these, some of these national parks that are really unique like that geologically and stuff like that, they kind of get people behaving in the same way I imagine humans would if we showed up on another planet, you know, like they're going like to take a photo of something and they don't realize that they're on like
the danger.
Like
they're
right below like some creature that's going to reach out of the ground and grab them
it's
by
like
the
a
leg.
Futurama episode. Like they act like Fry on a planet. That he should be on.
Exactly.
Just like blissfully
but like,
ignorant.
But at the same
danger.
Time, they have all the information available to them on how to not be in that situation.
It could not be more obvious how to be safe and respectful. But
anyways,
Redwood.
Pretty high up. I mean, we didn't.
I don't know if we didn't do the national park, but we drove.
Is that
we
Sequoia or is that?
This is Redwood.
Okay. When we went to the Redwoods, we just pulled over to the side of the road and we just walked
into
a redwood forest. There was a pathway in there.
We were in it.
It was
stunning.
A phenomenal drive. I mean,
it looks like Endor on Star Wars Episode 6.
It is Endor essentially. Yeah,
there's
ferns,
like huge ferns. It's like all of a sudden you're the size of a bug.
Yeah, no, like, it's awesome. And here's the thing that kind of bums me out about Redwoods, though. Kind of pisses me off that they get so thin at the top. I wish that they had huge canopies.
Oh, like it was like a tree in the middle of a field, but like supersized?
Yeah, like I wish that there was more of a rainforest quality of canopy to Redwoods. I feel like that would really seal the deal for me, son.
I really want to go to Olympic National Park, which is our rainforest in Washington.
Me too. Yeah, yeah. The only
I think they have some
rainforest
pretty,
in North America.
They have some pretty big trees. I just watched a YouTube. A
lot of vines
like,
and stuff, too. That's on my bucket list as well. That and Crater Lake.
I don't know where that is.
Oregon.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Oregon in the craters, man.
Yeah, something about Oregon. Just seems like a crater spot. Okay. Redwood, I'd say, is an A.
Yeah.
It's really cool. What is this one?
Surely that's not Kings Canyon, is it?
Oh, yeah, it is.
It is?
That's yours. That's all you. I've never been there.
Okay. Kings Canyon is also the reason why this title exists for this podcast, is a little bit of a fucking... I went on another separate road trip. This is like road trip number 6 out of like the 8 I've been on. And... we went to Kings Canyon and it was like, I was with some guys I used to be camp counselors with. And this was like literally like 3 years ago. And they were like, we're going to go camping out in Kings Canyon. We're going to do winter camping. I'm like, sure, that's fine. I got a sleeping bag. I don't know anything about winter camping. And the biggest thing that I'm not aware of is that there are different ratings for, sleeping bags on what temperature, how cold it can get. I had like a weekend at Point Sebago, like, sleeping bag. I had fucking let's go to Maine in July sleeping bag. I did not have a, yeah, I did not have a let's go to Kings Canyon in fucking early April.
The wrong sleeping bag is miserable. I've made that mistake in the Marine Corps camping in winter in the desert. It gets below freezing, and if you didn't pack the right thing, you're just like all night waking up. You'll wake up like 30 times a night, just like fuck.
Well, so what happened? And another thing that made me very nervous. Well, I guess I was getting overly nervous. I had someone else hyping up. We were hyping up our nervousness because we were both slightly nervous, but then we didn't want to be like uncool about our nervousness. It was a whole fucking mess, a social interaction. But basically, there were bear boxes at these little campsite areas that we're at, and we were like, bear boxes. So that means that bears are a potential threat here. Sort of an instant conclusion we came to. And they were like, oh, yeah. Like, instead of being like, oh, that's not going to be a problem, though. My buddy Matt is like, yeah, we might run into bears. Like, he legitimized the anxiety about it. It's like, winter, the bears never came. The bears never came, but they might have. That was the problem. The possibility
fear was enough. The possibility was enough.
The possibility of the bear being there. And it was like, it was like two sides of my logic where it was like the side of me where it's like, it's winter. They're sleeping. They don't come out for like more than an hour a day, if at all, in hibernation. And then there's the other side where, but Matt said they might. and those two things had equal power.
And Matt's a smart guy.
Yeah, Matt's a smart guy. He's been outside a lot. And so I'm falling. And then, you know, cut to sleeping zone. I'm sleeping there. I didn't have a pillow either. So it was just a bundle of my clothing.
They were like, Ted, you want to come camping? Ted's like, sure. He just got in the truck.
Fully unprepared. Like, I just didn't think about anything. Of
yeah, I got
what
some crackers
want.
In my pocket. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I've got like a fucking lint. I got a fucking gum wrapper. I could maybe use that.
It's like SpongeBob in that episode where he's got like his three friends, like a chip, a penny, and a napkin.
Yeah, I've got like a euro from a school trip 7 years ago. And so I'm sitting there, and it is just the worst sleep I've ever had because I want to go to sleep because if I go to sleep, I teleport to the morning where I'm done worrying about the bears because it's light out, which is, you know, everybody knows when it's light out, a bear cannot hurt you.
It's impossible.
But as you said earlier, Tucker, I'm so cold, you know, I'm probably 10 degrees colder than I want to be. And so I'll sleep. 30 minutes go by, I'm waking up. Whoa, fuck, it's still dark. I try to go back to sleep. I wake up. What? What time is it? I'm like, I'm trying everything in my power to hold on to my heat.
When you're that cold, you're like taking extra clothes. You're like putting them at the bottom of your sleeping bag.
Yeah, I'm taking my fucking, like every jacket I own is on top of me in the sleeping bag. And I'm like, just trying everything in my power. I felt like Jack Nicholson in The Shining at like that night, like right before he died, you know, right before he froze to death.
Oh, so where do you rank this?
F. Because we didn't even really do much in the park. It was like we drove in, and then we started to try to camp, and I was worried about bears, and I was essentially freezing to death.
Sounds like an F.
Yeah.
Well, we only got one more. Have you been to Joshua Tree?
I mean, I actually haven't. I've driven through Yucca Valley, but like...
Oh, no. So I live right outside the gate.
Essentially, the last time that I saw all those Joshua Trees was when I drove to visit you. Really?
Oh, that's nothing. Like, so Joshua Tree National Park is kind of tucked in, like, there's mountains hiding it from the outside. Like, there are Joshua trees over the entire Southwest, kind of. But if you go in the park, you drive up, and it's like, and I thought this before I went to Kenya, and I still think this, it kind of is like all of a sudden you're in this savanna of grass, and there's just Joshua trees everywhere. And you can just see for miles and miles and miles.
Is it a savanna biome?
I think it's a high desert. I don't know if, I mean, I don't know. I wish I could tell you precisely what it is.
I don't know. Maybe it's
a savanna.
I don't know if any of the Mojave is high desert.
Oh, is that one of the other deserts?
High desert is like the Grand Canyon. Yeah, I would say that like there's a lot of high desert in Arizona, and so it's like there's areas that get really, really fucking cold in even though it's the desert, it gets really cold. Very cold, like even during the day it's cold, like in the winter and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's how 29 Palms is. Like it snowed several times while I was there. Joshua Tree got a foot of snow when I was there.
Yeah, I just don't think it's like
NationalParkService.government. Joshua trees are uniquely adapted to thrive in the arid extreme conditions of the high desert.
I just don't know if that's true though. I mean, I got an issue with that. You know what? Maybe it's a medium desert. I'll give you that much.
Settle for medium. So it's a medium desert. It's just, if you're up there, there's a good loop that comes like 29 Palms to Yucca Valley. There's a loop you can do there. And then it's like a triangle. One end goes down towards Palm Springs. You don't got to do that portion. But the upper portion, which is like the highest elevation portion, there's amazing boulders that people rock climb. There's this little oasis in there that has, like, you're in the middle of the desert for tens of miles, if not more, in every direction. Also, there's ducks and shit, like, in this tiny little pond. Yeah, there's migrating birds and stuff stop there.
Oh,
cool. It's a total oasis. And then, yeah, there's...
You got me convinced. Maybe I'll go.
If you're driving in the evening, snakes everywhere. Like, you're driving the road, snake crossing the road. Snake crossing the road.
They're biting at you. They're jumping on you. They're trying to eat your ears.
I have a soft spot for the park because I live there.
I'll let you rank it. I'll let you determine the ranking then.
I'd say it's an A. It's not an S, but it's an A tier. And it's amazing stars. We watched, there was a meteor that was, or not a meteor, a comet that was like in our orbit or whatever passing by when during 2020 when the Emma's family was there.
Yeah, I remember that. It was during all the lockdowns and stuff. And I remember trying to see it and I just didn't have I think I got a little bit of it with my camera, but like
we were in Joshua Tree camping.
Could you
night.
See it naked eye?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's fucked up. I'm mad about that. You know, cool. I have dreams of being able to see Holly's Comet when it comes by.
And so that next week, so you could see it for like a few days and there's different days with different intensities. Like the middle is the best and then it fades out. And once it had faded out that next week, I was running a live fire range for some Marines and we were doing night shoot. So we had night vision on and you couldn't see it with the naked eye anymore, but you could see it clear as day with night vision on. It's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It was like, I was like showing my Marine friends cause they don't give a fuck. Never know normally.
And they must've been like, their reaction must've been like, oh, that's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah.
That's probably the extent of the excitement you got. Oh, nice, dude.
Yeah, that is about the extent of the excitement.
So what's the difference between a comet and a meteor?
And then you just go, dude, you're not going to understand.
Yeah, you don't get it. Well, the difference is that a meteor just kind of like hits the ground, but a comet brings the genocide from the Fire Nation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if we're going to discuss this genocide further, it should probably be on the Patreon.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Take It Easy. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Please subscribe and comment and like if you haven't already. And join us over for an extra level of podcasting on the Take It Easy Patreon. It's one of the best ways to support the podcast. And you get bonus episodes. You get gaming videos from Tucker and I. And you get
like our Minecraft one we're about to record.
Indeed. And you get an advice show from me that I'm going to record tonight, I believe. For the second episode, and then Tucker and Emma are going to be coming back sooner or later with the reality recap show that they're doing as well. So there's a lot of bonus stuff.
Oh, and watch my new video.
It should be out by now. Yeah, it should be out by now.
Oh, it will be.
Indeed.
I'm more locked in than I've ever been.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. We will see you over at the Patreon if you would like, but either way, have a good day.
Goodbye, everybody.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right.
at Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall. Drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.